And this morning, I'm only going to hone in on one verse, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And my topic this morning is forgiveness. Just think about that word. But I can't forgive him. He started it all. Yes, unless he asked me to forgive him, I can't forgive him. I can't forget what he did to me or she did to me. You've heard those statements before? I'm sure we all either said it or heard it, or sometimes we feel like it. And this morning, our Lord understands each one of us and all those who are watching online. God understands because his son Jesus went through it, what we go through. But how did he face it? Forgiveness. Thank you, Rob, for reading that passage for us. But I'm honing in on verse 34. But I've got a few other things to share with you this morning. The message and the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it, that it is the very power of God. Let's make that very clear and sure. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, but to you and me, it is power. I want you to close your eyes this morning. And for those of you who want this outline, there are copies on the back table there. And for those online, I believe the notes, it's uploaded there for you. But I want you to all, even those watching online and all of us here, to just close our eyes for a moment. And I want you to imagine that we are there on Mount Calvary, at the crucifixion scene of Jesus. I want you to picture that, try to. Dusty hillside with all the swarm of people around us. Can you smell the dust in the air? Try to. Can you hear the shouting? Give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Can you feel the heat of the sun? Can you feel the perspiration trickling down your face, your forehead? Can you see the sea of people surging around to see what's happening? Could you hear the soldiers' armor clanging as they march past you? Can you hear those nails being driven into our Savior's wrists and his heels? Did you see that? Did you feel it? But did you hear the first 11 words from the cross? Only 11 words. The first one, first statement of Jesus, had only 11 words from that middle cross, that center cross. And these were the words, Father, forgive this crowd. Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Jesus, when he said those words, had gone through intense suffering, anguish of soul and spirit, and suffering of body and mind. Jesus is now hanging there, not tied to a cross, but nailed to the cross. I know people see pictures with the nails in the palms of the hands. After all my studies and thinking about it for a long time, for many years, I feel it would have torn through his palms. I believe they nailed him in his wrists and his heels. That's what kept him on the cross. But to make those, to scream those words out, He was hanging. It wasn't just put a nail there. They stretched him out. And the weight of his body on his hands there, he had to pull himself up to just say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus of Nazareth, now looking down upon this crowd. I was once there. I walked with them. I touched them. I healed them. I did good things to them. And Father, in spite of all that, just forgive them. Between these two criminals, one of them taunting him, saying, you're the one, you're the reason why we're here. And Jesus was nailed to that rugged cross. Not for anyone else, but for you, and you, and you, and you, and me. You must also be thinking of those who sentenced him to death. Caiaphas, the chief priest, and all the other high priests in the Sanhedrin who got together to get rid of Jesus. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. Jesus uttered these seven statements you'll be hearing about in the next few weeks. But the first one he uttered in the last few hours of his death. My friends, I don't know what you and I will be doing when the Lord calls us home. Let me know what happens to me, what situation I'm in when God calls me. But I hope I can, as the song said this morning, when that day comes, I could be singing. Or I can be saying, Father, forgive all those people. They don't know what they're doing. The first statement was a very personal request from Jesus. That's the first statement. A very personal request from him. Because it was a request for what people have done to him. And he says, my Father, don't hold it against them. Forgive them. Jesus was seeking forgiveness of all the things that were done to him. Forgiveness for those responsible for those things, for the torture and the crucifixion now. Something else to remember, Jesus must have been disappointed on that cross when he made that statement, because his disciples had deserted him. There was no one near him at this time. Peter, earlier in that chapter, if you read that chapter earlier, Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. And everyone disappeared. This unpredictable mob who would now, a few days ago, shouting, Hosanna in the highest, let's make him our king, is now shouting out, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Now they were demanding his crucifixion. I had a question as I was thinking about this statement. Did Jesus have you and me on his mind? What do you reckon? Some yes, some not sure. Read John 17. In that prayer in the garden, before he came to this crucifixion, he had you and me on his mind. There's a good Sunday afternoon to find out that verse. I'm not giving you the verse, but find it out. Because he did have you and me on his mind. My answer to that question is, most certainly he did. He did. We often forget. We often forget him on a daily basis. How many of us think of him at least, I'm being generous, being at least five times a day? How many of us think of him as we walk from day to day, as we talk to him, we walk with him, we pray with him, we keep in touch, we praise him, we give him thanks? That should be our journey as Christians. Did Jesus react to all those things? I can't forgive them, Father, for what they are doing and what they did. No, never. Not in the character and nature of Jesus. And if you and I are growing into the image of Christ. And last Sunday I mentioned that in another church I was preaching in Romans 8:29. we are called and predestined in the foreknowledge of God to be predestined to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. At the height of his extreme physical suffering, his love is flowing now to these people. Could you imagine? He's not just praying these words and saying this, making this statement, just looking at the people. It's his love for them that's coming out. Remember John 3:16? How can we forget that? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And here's that love from the cross flowing out to this angry mob around him, to those who are torturing him and have tortured him. His love is flowing from that cross as his blood flowed from there. He says, Father, just forgive them. He asks his father. He pleads with his father. I believe that statement was just not a statement. I believe it was a pleading to his father. Please, Lord. Please, my heavenly Father. Forgive them. Forgive them. Jesus sincerely requests his father. When we pray for those who hurt us, for those who say things against us, for those that upset us, do we ever stop and say, Heavenly Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. My prayer is that you and I would be able to do that. We'll be able to ask our Father to forgive those who do these things against us. And actually, remember this too. His Heavenly Father cannot forgive these people but for the eternal and supreme sacrifice of Jesus. Think about it. He is now calling upon his Father to forgive them, but at the same time, his Father can only forgive them once his blood is shed on that cross. Pastor Rod's going to remind us of that shortly as we partake of communion in remembrance of Jesus. And his father says, yes, son. I'm sure his father must have said, son, yes, you still have to go through it. Otherwise, I cannot forgive them. It's through the shedding of your blood that they will be forgiven. Think about it. That's extreme love, I think. That is the perfect love of someone who's asking for forgiveness for those who are hurting. And then you have to pay the price for that forgiveness. That's extreme. That is extreme. Jesus taught the effectiveness of forgiveness in prayer. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, we call it the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Lord's model prayer. He gave the disciples the outline to pray from. If you want to know Jesus' prayer, read John 17. In verse 12 of chapter 6, Matthew 6, and forgive us our sins, just as we forgive those who sin against us. Excuse me. nothing wrong, don't worry. In that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, he said, forgive us just as we forgive those. Forgive us just as we forgive. If we don't forgive everyone fully, how can we expect God to forgive us fully? And Jesus was the perfect example on the cross. Peter asked him on one occasion in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22. Peter asked him this question, Lord, how many times should we forgive someone? Seven times? Because that was the law. You've got to forgive someone seven times. Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Do your maths. 490 times. Has anyone here forgiven someone 490 times in one day? Put your hand up. Out there, put your hand up. Yeah, I saw that hand. Yes, we must learn to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to forgive, because that's what our Heavenly Father does for us. That's what Jesus does to us. Jesus forgave the paralyzed man in Capernaum. Read about it in Mark chapter 2, verses 3 to 12. If you read there, Jesus didn't just say, you've been paralyzed here, get up and walk. No. His friends knew that Jesus can heal him. They couldn't get in because of the crowd there. They opened the roof. I'm sorry, Sean, if someone did that today, I wonder what we'll do here, friends. Colin, open up the roof and let someone down, pray for him. What are we going to do? Jesus didn't say, get up and walk. He said, your sins be forgiven you. Talked about forgiveness there. You can read the rest of the story. Remember the sinful woman who came to Jesus when he was reclining at Simon's house? And he said, you can read that in Luke chapter 7. But in verses 47 to 49, which I want to read, this is what Jesus said to the people who were grumbling and complaining, what waste, all this money, 1 year's salary in that perfume that they just poured on his feet. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me how much she loves me. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little, little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table and said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? They didn't know he was the Son of God. If Jesus can forgive sins, and this woman was so grateful for all the sins that Jesus had forgiven her, that she poured out her love to him there. Jesus was teaching the people around him what true forgiveness is. Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? They were all ready to stone her. Like most people today, if someone, a rumor comes out or someone says something, let's throw the stone. And Jesus stood in the midst of them, didn't say a word. He began to write on the ground. You can read about it in John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus began to write on the ground. And people wondered what he wrote. Many scholars say all sorts of things, but I think Jesus must have written there envy, bitterness, anger, evil thoughts. Jesus must have written these sins on the ground. And one by one, the stones were falling down and the people were walking away. Until he looked up and saw no one there but one person. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all need his forgiveness alone from those sins. And that is why Jesus was the perfect example on that cross to show us what true forgiveness is all about. Remember the Last Supper? Jesus encourages the disciples to drink the cup. Listen to his words in Matthew 26. Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. If Jesus cannot forgive sin, there is no forgiveness. And that's why when people say, you know, you follow this religion or that religion, you'll find forgiveness. Impossible. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Jesus on the cross was the perfect example of true forgiveness when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even after his resurrection, in John chapter 20, verses 22 and 23, we read these words. When he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive, there's the word again. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. We're not going to get into theological discussion about that. If you want to, I'm happy to. We can meet. But After his resurrection, Jesus, his first act was to give them this commission as his disciples, to go and forgive. And it's important for you and me to know, as his disciples living today in 2021. Those good old days, don't you reckon? What happened to 2020? I don't know. Okay. But you know, in 2021, the Lord expects you and me to be people who know what his forgiveness is first in our lives. How can we forgive someone else if we don't know his forgiveness? And I've been around for a long time in church life to know that there are many people who are hurting today, and many people who have hurt other people today because they have not learned the forgiveness that Jesus gave them, to pass it on as his disciples, to forgive anyone who does anything against us. I wonder if we can stand up and say, yes, I'm prepared and I'm happy to do that, to forgive anyone what they've done to me or said about me. Jesus wants us as his followers to be his examples today. And the world cannot see that happening in the church today. I'm talking universally. But I pray that Beaconsfield Baptist Church will be that beacon that will shine out from here. That true forgiveness will flow from this church to one another and to the community and beyond. To all those past, present, and future, because that's the forgiveness of Jesus. He forgave everyone, past, present, and future. And he wants us to do the same. How do I know that? Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, remember that word, if, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you don't, that's what it says in verse 15, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, we ask God to forgive us. How many times a day do we ask that question? Lord, forgive me. Yes, Lord, I should not have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. We ask God to forgive us, but how many times have we forgiven others of the same things? And if we've not learned to forgive others, don't expect God to forgive us on the authority of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Can you hear those first 11 words of Jesus from the cross? I don't believe personally that Jesus said that as a weakling dying on the cross. No, he pulled himself up on those nails and he cried to his heavenly Father, a personal request from the bottom of his heart, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And my prayer is that you and I will learn from that first statement of Jesus on the cross to be men and women, boys and girls, young people, who will learn to forgive the way Jesus forgives us. Is that your heart's cry this morning? As you hear those words from the Master. Yes. I sat in my office yesterday and said, what would your voice have sounded, Lord? Let me hear your voice again. Saying, Father, forgive me. Forgive this bloke that he may be able to forgive others too. And my prayer is that every one of us, as we come around the table, as Pastor Rod leads us now, we'll be able to pray that prayer. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who've sinned against us so that we can receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let it live in our lives.